Hello, and welcome to SourceCast. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is episode number 4. That's a month's worth of episodes. Today, we will be discussing IBM, which is pretty typical. I'm going to circle back around to the EMC Dell deal, which we talked about in episode number 1. And we're going to cover open source technologies, specifically some database product, Red Hat, and some of the dealings that they've been working on with Microsoft. So I'm sure that I will properly utilize your next 5 to 10 minutes. So let's start the show. I think the number one topic for today's show is once again Dell. Dell and EMC have not historically been major topics of discussion on my blog. I've covered them for my own personal understanding just to see what's going on as far as market conditions go. But Dell and EMC have not been primary information points for me historically. That all changed with the merger talk. We covered the merger in episode number 1. I'm not going to get into the details of that. One of the things that I do want to drill down into is again the debt. Dell incurred debt to go private. Dell is incurring debt again to purchase EMC. I think all told, it's going to be about $44 billion worth of debt, which is more than some Fortune 100 companies are worth in total. Dell is in that much debt. And the news coming out this week is that they are looking to address the debt, which is a good thing. That sounds like a very rational and logical course of action. But it gets confusing about how they're trying to manage the debt. There's discussion that they're talking about selling off assets, which makes sense, like Quest. Quest has been thrown out there as a potential asset that they can sell off. But it gets a little bit more confusing when you start talking about Pivotal. So let me step back a few steps. Dell went private. They purchased their stocks back off the public market. Michael Dell says this is the best thing that the company could have done. It allows them to focus on innovation. It allows them to focus on their customers instead of worrying about stockholders. Okay, I'll buy that line of thinking. Then they're attempting to buy EMC, which one would assume that EMC is going to go private during this acquisition. However, VMware, which is 80 or 90% owned by EMC, will remain a public company. Additionally, EMC and VMware were attempting to create a new company called Pivotal with GE. This company will also be a public company. Dell is actually pushing for this IPO to happen as soon as possible because they can use the profits made from the IPO to start to pay down their debt. So they're looking to pay down at least $10 billion worth of that $44 billion of debt as soon as possible. I want to see the movements that this company is making in the next year, what assets they're trying to sell off, what is the overlap between the two companies, and what will be viewed as the weaker asset to sell off, and what will be viewed as the strategic asset to keep. More to come on this. Let's shift focus and talk about my friends at IBM. Not to belabor a point, but last week I did mention that Seeking Alpha, who, again, as we know, are not fans of IBM, but Seeking Alpha said that IBM has a lot of debt maturities coming into play, and they will be unable to acquire new companies. Right on the heels of that article, IBM announces a $2 billion acquisition of the weather company. And this week, the company announced the purchase of a company called Graviton. So it's a cloud company that essentially allows you to select cloud services from other cloud companies. That's pretty meta. So essentially, they have a portal where a customer or an enterprise customer can go in, see a variety of cloud services that are being provided by several different companies, and select those options a la carte into one cohesive solution. IBM now owns this company, and on paper, it makes sense. There are deals that they're doing with third parties and other companies that allow certain platforms to be accessible on their open cloud, and they are clearly trying to introduce their own product. What all of these cloud companies are attempting to do is reassure customers, especially enterprise customers, that if you go to their cloud platform, you won't be stuck. There's some degree of portability between company A and company B. Certainly IBM or Oracle doesn't want you to leave the platform once you get on there. And I suspect it's not as easy as they're saying it is once you get on there, but they're trying to alleviate enterprise customers' fears that once you forego your own infrastructure and move on to their cloud services, it will be damn near impossible to get off. I think it is a valid fear. I don't think any of these companies have demonstrated anything that has alleviated the fear yet. However, leveraging these open platforms, making sure that these open platforms are backbones for all of their systems is a good first start. And it's not just cloud now. A big focus for IBM is the Internet of Things. from the major IT companies, I think that they have a decent head start over other competitors about what they're trying to do. Between their analytics, their Watson services, their cloud services, they have a mixture of platforms and back-end products that I think allows them to leverage the information that's coming in from a variety of products. Other companies will catch up quickly, but I do think that IBM at least has an ecosystem to take advantage of what's out there now. The Internet of Things is something that has to be contended with. It's not just what are all the benefits that it can bring. There are a variety of security implications as well. If we think about the benefits to industries like transportation and healthcare, the opportunity for change is incredible. I'm wearing a Fitbit on my wrist right now. When that information gets tied into my health provider and those other services, and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, all of that information is getting funneled in, they're going to be able to do something with that data. Even if the personal information is stripped out, they'll be able to do things with that. It'll change the way we do medicine. Again, it'll change the way that we're transporting ourselves, but that information comes at a cost. The data could be manipulated if the wrong people get their hands on it. You can certainly have the Gattaca situation, the movie Gattaca, for those of you who don't know. Certain information is being used from a medical perspective and from genetics perspective that starts to basically develop a caste system. Those types of scenarios could be enabled with the technology that we are developing. So we have to proceed with caution. Speaking of cautious, JP Morgan is down on HP Inc. right now. That's my interesting segue into HP. So JP Morgan is down on HP Inc., which is the printer and desktop services side of the HP split. However, on their first day, HP Inc. was up 13%. HP Hewlett Packard, I should say Hewlett Packard Enterprises, apparently it is a faux pas to say HP Enterprises. You have to say Hewlett Packard Enterprises. And I'm saying that with my pinky up. Hewlett Packard Enterprises on their opening day fell 1.6%. They are now at $14.49. HP Enterprises also lost their chief information officer. Ralph Luria, who had previously served at Clorox, decided to leave the company on their first day. Luria basically said that it was a good time to leave because the company was shifting focus. It seems like Hewlett Packard Enterprises deploys more of a siloed approach to their IT sections, so he may not actually be the only CIO of the company. It seems like they focus on divisional CIOs. I'm curious to see if the new CIO will be the master of all of the CIOs, and if they will take a less siloed approach to their infrastructure and the way they do things internally, or if they'll just find a replacement for the guy. And we're going to end this week with open source. It seems like there are a few companies that are on Oracle's heels from a database perspective. Oracle is the unquestioned king of database, and their closest competitor is MySQL, which was an open source platform that they bought. Microsoft is a third with SQL Server, but there are some open source platforms that are starting to rise up, specifically MongoDB. MongoDB jumped up in Gartner's Magic Quadrant as a viable operational database competitor, and it is definitely showing more popularity out in the market. And speaking of open source, Microsoft, to echo what I said earlier in the podcast, just made a deal with Red Hat. So now on Microsoft's cloud platform, Azure, Red Hat Linux is being offered as an option. It's actually a preferred option. So customers, once again, can go on an open source platform on a privately hosted cloud or a public cloud that has private options, so you have your own private infrastructure on a public cloud. You have an option of not going with a proprietary system. You can go with an open source system, which again leads one to think that it would be easy to get off of that platform and migrate to something else should you not have a good experience. But that remains to be seen. And that's it for this week's podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you join us next week. Take care.